It's time for Brother Larry's Sinful Sunday. Oh yeah. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Welcome everyone. Thank you, Brother Dre. Just plop in any open recliner, or if you want to double up with somebody, that's okay too. Just let's keep our hands in our own pockets. I have a story for you about how, lured by vixens in pencil skirts and lace veils, I found and climbed another rung on the ladder to enlightenment in Beverly Hills. Sounds unlikely, doesn't it? But stay with me, and I'll circle back there a little later in the show. This is the sophomore outing of Sinner Sunday. Oh, why did I just say that? Makes it sound like school or something. And this is, most assuredly, no educational institution. We don't think much of those. In fact, many of them should be demolished. We're not here to teach or preach. We're not here to talk at you. We'd rather talk with you. We're here to have a little weekend after party. Grab maybe a hair of the dog, some BBQ, and marvel at the glory of the Lariettes, those three-pointy vixens with voices of angels and tongues of fire right over there in those clingy saffron robes and high-heeled sandals. So in Los Angeles, we do get kind of a wimpy winter. In the day, it might drop into the 60s. And at night in the low 40s or even 30s, and it's really funny to see people out here with their woolen hats and fur boots like Admiral Peary on his polar exploration. And as a nod to winter, I usually make my incomparable stew. Sometimes it's beef, sometimes chicken, sometimes fish, and it's a massive undertaking. I'm talking 9 or 10 pounds of beef and bags of potatoes and turnips and parsnips and sweet onions sliced thin as Kleenex. And I've got this enormous, I don't know, 16-18-quart stew pot. Kind of like the one Glenn Close boiled the rabbit in that old movie, Fatal Attraction. Which is a really great movie I highly recommend. Especially for anyone in a committed relationship who may be considering a carnal dalliance. If you've seen it, Michael Douglas plays a family man married to Ann Archer, who at that time was incredibly pointy and hot. And for some reason that's hard to fathom, Douglas has a one-night stand with Glenn Close. That's where the movie goes off the rails a little bit, because it's just difficult to imagine Glenn being able to make Michael stray from Ann. Glenn's one of those women people sometimes refer to as a handsome woman. If I was a chick and somebody called me handsome, I'd knock them on their ass. So I make this huge pot of stew, and we get maybe 4 or 5 dinners out of it, and for the hell of it, I posted a picture of the stew pot on Facebook. And right away, people chime in, reminding me that it's Lent, and it's also Friday, and you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday. And I saw those comments, and presto, we've got a show. So first, about that no meat on Friday thing. There was some controversy about its origins. Like it was a papal dictum made to goose the European fishing industry. Some claim that's not it. That the intent is to fast and try to be like the world champion faster JC himself, who went into the desert and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Makes you wonder if some lawyer wrote the Bible. Has to be so precise, like you might have been zooming us, right? Fasting by day and feasting by night. But I get that. Lots of people claim fasting is a spiritual cleanser, and there's no question it's a physical one. Flush those 80-proof toxins and so on. But how does that stuff figure into the whole Lent thing? Because for my entire life, I've tried to get my mind around the Lent thing. I've got 16 years of Catholic education under my belt, or maybe more accurately, festering in my skull. And one of my earliest childhood memories was of some authoritarian nun telling us that today was the first day of Lent, and we need to give up stuff for God. And all these kids, and adults even more so, would suddenly get very pious and go on and on about how they were giving up candy. That was always a big one. And utterly meaningless to me because the only time there was candy at my house was Halloween, and I never liked it much anyway. So I'd say, yeah, Sister Forearm Smash, I'm giving up candy for Lent. That was easy. But these people with their bullshit sacrifices, I only wanted to bludgeon them. It just seemed so phony and fake, because the underlying reason, as it was told to us by Sister Forearm Smash, was that God does so much for us, the least we can do in return is give up something for Him. So there He is, the Big Skipper, the author and pilot and conductor and quartermaster of the universe, and He gives a shit if little Eugene Tommaso in Elmhurst, Queens stops eating candy and his old man eschews cigars until Easter. And now the Big Skipper is pleased and won't destroy the earth. That was kind of the read I got from this. And even at 6 years of age, I thought, this is just stupid. And these asshats would actually brag about how much they were suffering without M&M's or El Productos or Pabst Blue Ribbon or Lucky Strikes or cheesecake or coffee. Who could live without those life-sustaining staples, And as these sanctimonious jackholes are braying about their sacrifices, I'm standing in the church vestibule looking at the picture of some poor kid in North Korea or India or Africa sitting in a gutter with his belly swollen with hunger, who hasn't eaten in a fucking week and would love some M&M's and cheesecake. And I thought, this, what I'm giving up for Lent stuff, is just such bullshit. So for years and years, I would listen to people bragging about their sacrifices right around Mardi Gras time. Which reminds me, if you've got to be born and raised Catholic on this planet, try to locate yourself near or below the equator, because people in those southern latitudes have a flavor of Lent I vastly prefer to the uptight northerners. I don't know if those folks down in Rio actually give anything up for Lent, but considering what they do for Carnival, does it really matter? Oh, God, those Carnival chicks wearing G-strings and 8-inch heels and fruit cocktails on their heads. I want to worship with them, don't you? They can make me believe almost anything. And even in New Orleans, which is still a long way from the equator, Mardi Gras is a hell of a contrast to the Lenten activities of St. Bartholomew's Roman Catholic Church in Elmhurst, Queens, New York, 11373. One is about pain and suffering and sacrifice. The other is about shaking your tits on a balcony so people will throw plastic beads at you. Easy choice, right? Which I suppose is one of the stronger selling points for Catholicism, as opposed to some of the more rigid Protestant sects like, Cotton Mather's Puritans in New England. Cotton was a big man in the witch hunt business, and oversaw the prosecution and execution of many. At least Catholics can have drunken orgies, and then confess and do penance, and they're good to go again. But with Cotton's crowd, there were no backsies, no second chances, and no absolution. Just purification by rope and fire. By the way, Cotton's old man was named Increase Mather. Where did they get these names? Were the other Mathers named Decrease, Wool, and Polyester? Is that tiresome jerk-off M&M related to the witch-burning Mathers, I wonder? So as I said, our little gatherings here every Sunday. By the way, last week's gathering wildly exceeded audience projections, so thank you very much. Let's grow this thing to a global movement. Tell all your friends. These gatherings are about beer, barbecue, babage, and spiritual adventure. Now, believe it or not, I am something of a spiritual explorer. And shortly after moving to Los Angeles, I was driving through Beverly Hills one glorious Sunday morning and passed a church, on the steps of which were a number of people, including several pointy chicks. And they were among the most intriguing of pointy chicks because of their attire, which I term holy pointy. That would be H-O-L-Y pointy, as opposed to the Carnival and Mardi Gras chicks, which are W-H-O-L-L-Y pointy. Tell you what, I'll post images of both types at thatlarryshow.com so you can see the contrast for yourself. So these holy H-O-L-Y pointy chicks are congregating on the steps of this picturesque Catholic church in Beverly Hills, and curbside people are being dropped off in Maseratis and Bentleys and so on, and I think to myself, gee, I'm new in town, and these chicks look incredibly hot in what can only be termed the pseudo-modest way. And it's a look that some women are really, really good at, and properly done. That look just draws me in like a tractor beam. Now, if you want to really do the modesty thing and fully mute all feminine allure, you suit up like some Wahhabi Muslim or Dominican nun. And when that's done right, you can barely tell whether what's under all that cloth is male or female. You just know it's a biped. That's modesty, I suppose, cranked up to 11. But those Beverly Hills holy babes, oh, it's such a fraudulent display of demure apparel. They've got magnificent hair, but aren't really supposed to show it off, so they cover it with a piece of lace the size of a poker chip. Or maybe they wear a little fedora with one of those super-thin lace veils, which do about as much to dampen the male libido as a belly chain and pasties. Then they'll wear a white suit with navy or black piping and a to-the-knee pencil skirt cut so tight you're certain to get that VPL, visible panty line. And then in another token nod to modesty, she leaves the ankle straps home and chooses pumps with a little 3-inch heel. So I get an eyeful of several women like that on the steps of this church, and suddenly I have religious needs. I need salvation. I want to be part of this flock and maybe roost with these beautiful birds, as the Brits would say. I park my car and hustle inside, and already I'm praying I can score a seat next to the one with the veil over the almond-shaped eyes and bee-stung lips and the pencil skirt tailored for a Crenshaw melon. Now remember, I've spent a lot of time in churches and listened to a lot of priests, and most of them should have been professional hypnotists. They don't speak so much as they drone. A few lines of inscrutable scripture followed by cursory interpretation, and then the money requests. And most of them resembled Michael Moore, the heinous commie creep who thinks he's a filmmaker and the conscience of America. He's just a fat, stupid asshole. But I digress. So these priests, who often look like Michael Moore and sound like, well, here's what they sounded like to me.
It was the time of the Chaldeans when the Zimzal people were in conflict with the Framazoids, and so Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthians which said...
Back to Beverly Hills and my religious rebirth. As it turned out, I lost Miss Lace Veil and Pencil Skirt in the crowd and wound up wedged between a woman with several chins and perfume that made me sneeze and some squirmy kid with a G.I. Joe doll. Oh, excuse me, a G.I. Joe action figure. Now, I refuse to talk bullshit. It's a fucking doll, okay? With no eye candy in my vicinity, I was forced to direct my attention to the priest. And when I saw this guy, who looked like George Clooney, I mean, so much so that I did a quick scan for a camera, wondering if I had somehow stumbled onto a movie shoot. But it wasn't George, but it sure as hell also wasn't Michael Moore. But then I realize I'm in Beverly Hills, where almost anything is possible. And the guy starts to talk, and he does not sound like any hypno-priest I'd ever heard. He had a great voice and terrific delivery, and he launches straight into a talk about why giving up things for Lent was total bullshit. Of course, he didn't use that word. Now, he has my attention because he was about to validate beliefs I had, or, to be more accurate, a disbelief in Catholic canon that went back to early childhood. And he went off on the same activity, giving up candy or booze or tobacco or anything for Lent, which at least is a meaningless self-delusion, and at worst is hypocrisy, and often a cover for outright evil. And this movie star priest went on to say how, if you really want to score brownie points with God, don't not do something, like not smoke, or not drink, or not swear. That's worthless nonsense. Instead, do something. Be proactive. Volunteer at a hospital. Go visit someone who's sick or in prison, or read a book to a blind guy, or mow the lawn of the old lady next door, or give a drunk a ride home, or stop and change the tire for the woman on the shoulder, or invite the recently widowed to your house for dinner. Because that's what makes God smile and love you. And even if you're a fucking atheist, that's what makes one of your fellow human beings, passengers with you on this oh-so-temporary journey on spaceship Earth, that is what makes them smile. And if not love, at least feel love. Now, once again, I've lapsed into my own vernacular, but as this highly articulate George Clooney clone gave his message to his flock, I could see many were not terribly comfortable with his words. I, however, had to restrain myself from standing on the bench and screaming, "Amen, brother!" And while I was at it, scanned the crowd for Miss Lace Veil and Pencil Skirt. I really wanted to get proactive with her. But yeah, you could see that a lot of those people who were so comfortable in performing meaningless sacrifices, finger quotes, for all those Lenten seasons were not happy about Father Matinee Idol shitting all over their worthless acts of churchly theater. So, amen, I say unto you, brothers and sisters, whatever your chosen flavor of God may be, from Alexandrian to Zoroastrian, bullshit is bullshit, and truth is truth, and sometimes people try to cope one with the other. So always dig deeper, and if you see pointy chicks on the steps of the temple, have a look inside. Probably can't hurt. Remember to slide by thatlarryshow.com for lots more content and the full archive. And while you're there, click that subscribe by email button so you're always dialed in. And if you like what you just heard, head for patreon.com/thatlarryshow for more of everything, because this is where truth lives, at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. Thanks for hanging with me once again, everybody. I'll see you this Tuesday for the regular edition of That Larry Show. And until that time, throw some love around, will you?